This is Jeff Blankford with a February 22nd edition of Takes on the World, a program on international affairs that comes your way the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month, and every other fifth Wednesday when I open the phones to get your takes on the world. Today happens to be the third anniversary of the success of the U.S. orchestrated coup in Ukraine, the day when the country's lawfully elected President Viktor Yanukovych fled the capital of Kiev, fearing for his life. It was also the event that kicked off the current wave of anti-Russia hysteria, which is unlike anything I recall seeing even during the height of the Cold War. This time, however, in a world turned upside down by the election of Donald Trump, it is for the most part liberals who are the most hysterical. It is one of the issues I plan to raise with today's guest, veteran Dutch journalist Carol van Wolferen, at 20 minutes past the hour. It will be a continuation of my conversation with van Wolferen, a keen observer of the U.S. political scene, begun but abbreviated on my last program, about his recent article, Karl Rove's Prophecy, in the UNS Review, How the Political Establishment Manufactures the Realities It Chooses. It is pertinent to what happened in Ukraine because Wolfram points out, quote, the neocon state put in the State Department and other positions closely linked to the Obama White House, where they became allies with the liberal hawks and continuing spreading democracy, in quotes, by overthrowing regimes. America's mainstream news and opinion purveyors, without demurring, he wrote, accommodated the architects of reality production overseen by Dick Cheney, end quote. And if you have been listening to NPR, you'll see it is on the same bandwagon as it was in pushing for the invasion of Iraq in 2003. But who would have expected such liberals as Michael Moore, Bill Moyers, and groups such as Move On, Common Cause, Color of Change, and the alternative websites Common Dreams and Alternet would be in the forefront of those leading the anti-Russian campaign that originated in the nonsensical, unproven, and unprovable allegation that Russia, under Vladimir Putin's personal direction, interfered with the presidential elections and delivered the White House to Donald Trump. And moreover, they are doing so despite the absence of the neocons' would-be warrior queen, Hillary Clinton, who compared Putin to Hitler and made getting tough with Russia the major foreign policy plank of her losing campaign. Moore, who told us back in 1992 that the election of Bill Clinton was the most important in our history, and whose sense of self-glorification and all-knowingness mirrors that of the obnoxious Trunk, tweeted on February 13th that, quote, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what was going on. Trump colluding with the Russians to throw the election to him. And he tweeted again to his followers, telling them to demand that Congress take no business up until it appoints a special committee to investigate and impeach Trump. And here is Moyers, together with Michael Winship, a senior writer for Moyers & Company, telling us on the front page of February 15th issue of the Progressive Populist that, quote, we cannot wait for history's judgment. For the sake of democracy, an independent commission or special prosecutor must be appointed to investigate Russian influence. Later in the article, they wrote that, quote, the dark clouds hovering over American politics must be cleared up. Left unresolved, the allegations present a clear and present danger, a ticking time bomb that could explode and bring an end to America's nearly 250-year experiment in self-government, end quote. Moyers and Winship prominently quote a former U.S. diplomat, James Bruno, who in the Washington Monthly reaffirmed the intelligence paper's conclusions at the coals of Russia's intelligence cyber attack were to, quote, undermine faith in the U.S. democratic process, denigrate Secretary Clinton and harm her electability and potential presidency, and that the Russian government had developed a clear preference for President-elect Trump. Read that again slowly and carefully, Moyers and Winship tell us. The intelligence community is saying that a foreign country, Russia, deliberately interfered with and corrupted our electoral process to favor the election of Donald Trump, end quote. Well, it is the intelligence community, my friends, we need to remember, that has repeatedly fabricated lies and told them to the American public and the world, not just to justify our invasion of Iraq, but all of our imperial policies and foreign interventions since the end of World War II. Moreover, as I mentioned on my last program, contrary to the notion that Russia could undermine America's faith in the political process, numerous national polls have revealed this to have been a national problem long before the last year's presidential campaign. And I would think that Moyers himself discussed that subject more than once on his radio program. It was also no secret that Clinton entered the election race with a low assassinating of any Democratic presidential candidate, and the Russians had nothing to do with that. Of course, Putin would have preferred Trump to Clinton. While the Donald was praising Putin as a strong leader, she had compared him, as I mentioned, with Hitler after the annexation of Crimea and was advocating a stronger NATO to confront Russia's non-existent threat to its neighbors and a no-fly zone over Syria, which the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff warned her would risk a confrontation with Russian military aircraft. The only reference in the article to the Democratic National Committee sabotaging Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign, which was revealed in the DNC's emails, ignores that cogent fact, and instead, Moyers and Winship blame the FBI for dragging its feet and letting the DNC know it was being hacked. Thus, Moyers and Winship effectively whitewashed the DNC's betrayal of a major sector of the party's base, but not a word about that. It is at times like this I recall that Moyers worked for Lyndon Johnson beginning in 1960 and was his loyal press secretary from 1965 to 1967 during LBJ's criminal escalation of the war in Vietnam, and he has yet to say a public word of criticism against his old boss. But as I mentioned earlier, Moyers is not acting alone in calling for a special commission to investigate Russia's alleged interference in our elections, which clearly has been aggravated by now former National Secretary Advisor General Michael Flynn's admission that he spoke with the Russian ambassador regarding the additional sanctions on Moscow that President Obama had imposed on Russia on the basis of the alleged hacking. Last week, in my email box contained petitions calling for that special commission from Common Dreams, Color of Change, Move On, and Alternet, endorsing one being circulated by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Well, today there was one from Common Cause. All of them call for the setting up of a special commission along the lines demanded by Moore and Moyers, to which I can only shake my head and ask, what were all these people doing during the 8 years of President Obama's administration, particularly the first 2 years when Democrats also controlled both houses of Congress? Why, we must ask them, did they accept President Obama's declaration that the country needed to overlook the origins of the Iraq War and to, quote, look forward, not backward, words that were echoed by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi? If not, why did they not publicly challenge Obama for effectively having pardoned George W. Bush and his fellow criminals in Washington, those who were responsible for the destruction of Iraq and the loss of hundreds of thousands of Iraqi-American lives, which led to the destabilization of the region, the rise of ISIS, and the hundreds of thousands of refugees? Why was there no demand by any of them then for a special commission to investigate the origins of that war and the prosecution of those responsible for producing the false intelligence that justified it? Can any of them today with a straight face tell us that Russia's alleged interference in the U.S. elections or anything that it might have done in relation to U.S. elections, even if true, is more serious than requiring a special investigation than what this country did in and to Iraq? Those who were silent then, who are calling for a special commission now, need to hang their heads in shame. Now, for the remainder of my commentary, and in recognition of the Ukraine coup, I will let others do the talking. In the first of three clips, you're going to hear a brief conversation I played once before, secretly recorded, no doubt by the Russians, and posted on YouTube 2 weeks before Yanukovych's departure. You will hear Deputy U.S. Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, a former top aide Dick Cheney, and Hillary Clinton's former press spokesperson discussing with U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine Jeff Pyatt who they want to head the Ukraine government after Yanukovych's departure. In another clip still available on YouTube, which I also played for you back in 2014, Nuland bragged to a group of Ukrainian-American businessmen that Washington had spent $5 billion to bring about regime change in their homeland and take it from Russia's orbit into the West. In this clip, Nuland and Pyatt banter about which of the Ukrainian opposition figures should go into the government as prime minister. Klitsch, he calls. Klitsch is Vitali Klitschko, a former heavyweight boxing champion and an opposition leader. And Yats is Arseniy Yatsenyuk, Nuland's choice, who ends up getting the job. It was what might be called a milder form of interfering in another country's government's affairs, American style, and here it is.
What do you think?
I think we're in play. The Klitschko piece is obviously the complicated electron here, especially the announcement of him as deputy prime minister. And you've seen some of my notes on the troubles in the marriage right now, so we're trying to get a read really fast on where he is on this stuff. But I think your argument to him, which you'll need to make, I think that's the next phone call we want to set up, is exactly the one you made to Yats. And I'm glad you sort of put him on the spot on where he fits in this scenario. And I'm very glad he said what he said in response.
Good. So I don't think Cleat should go into the government. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you think, in terms of him not going into the government, just let him sort of stay out and do his political homework and stuff. I'm just thinking, in terms of sort of the process moving ahead, we want to keep the moderate Democrats together. The problem is going to be Tony Book and his guys. And, you know, I'm sure that's part of what Yanukovych is calculating on all of this.
I think Yats is the guy who's got the economic experience, the governing experience. He's the guy, you know, what he needs is Cleach and Tony Book on the outside. He needs to be talking to them four times a week. You know, I just think Cleach going in, he's going to be at that level working for Yatsenyuk. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. Okay. Good. Well, do you want us to try to set up a call with him as the next step?
My understanding from that call was that the big three were going into their own meeting and that Yats was going to offer in that context a three-way, you know, a three-plus-one conversation or three-plus-two with you. Is that not how you understood it?
No, I think, I mean, that's what he proposed, but I think just knowing the dynamic that's been with them where Klitschko's been the top dog, he's going to take a while to show up for whatever meeting they've got. He's probably talking to his guys at this point, so I think you reaching out directly to him helps with the personality management among the three, and it gives you also a chance to move fast on all this stuff and put us behind it before they all sit down and he explains why he doesn't like it.
Okay, good. I'm happy. Why don't you reach out to him and see if he wants to talk before or after?
Okay, will do. Thanks.
Okay, I've now written, one more wrinkle for you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Can't remember if I told you this or if I only told Washington this, that when I talked to Jeff Feltman this morning, he had a new name for the UN guy, Robert Seri. Did I write you that this morning?
Yeah, okay. I saw that.
He's now gotten both Seri and Ban Ki-moon to agree that Seri could come in Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
So that would be great, I think, to help glue this thing and have the UN help glue it and, you know, the EU.
No, exactly. And I think we've got to do something to make it stick together, because you can be pretty sure that if it does start to gain altitude, the Russians will be working behind the scenes to try to torpedo it. And again, the fact that this is out there right now, I'm still trying to figure out in my mind why Yanukovych did that. But in the meantime, there's a Party of Regions faction meeting going on right now, and I'm sure there's a lively argument going on in that group at this point. But anyway, we could land Jolly set up on this one if we move fast. So let me work on Klitschko, and if you can just keep, I think we want to try to get somebody with an international personality to come out here and help to midwife this thing. And then the other issue is some kind of outreach to Yanukovych, but we probably regroup on that tomorrow as we see how things start to fall into place.
So on that piece, Jeff, when I wrote the note, Sullivan's come back to me, VFR, saying you need Biden, and I said probably tomorrow for an attaboy and to get the deets to stick. So
okay.
Biden's willing.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thanks.
That was Victoria Nuland and Jeff Pyatt. I should mention that just before you hear the word EU, Victoria Nuland used the F word. To refer to the European Union, but I deleted that for FCC regulations, but she said that. Okay, now we go to Ukraine to hear from the Senate's leading hawks, Lindsey Graham and John McCain, who at Minnesota's Amy Klobuchar met with Ukrainian troops on December 27th and urged them to go on the offensive against Russia. They are introduced by Ukrainian President Pedro Poroshenko, with Graham speaking first.
І я як президент, і як верховний головнокомандувач хочу подякувати кожного з вас.
I admire the fact that you will fight for your homeland.
Я захоплююсь тим, що ви боретеся за свою батьківщину.
Your fight is our fight.
Ваша боротьба – це наша боротьба.
2017 will be the year of offense.
Рік 2017 рік буде ріком нападу.
All of us will go back to Washington and we will push the case against Russia.
Ми всі повернемося до Вашингтону і ми будемо відстоювати санкції проти Росії.
Enough of a Russian aggression.
Досить вже російської агресії.
It is time for them to pay a heavier price.
Час вже за щоб вони заплатили важчу ціну.
Our fight is not with the Russian people but with Putin.
Ми боремося не з російським народом, але з Путіним.
Our promise to you is to take your calls to Washington.
Наша обіцянка це те, що ми вашу боротьбу доведемо до Вашингтона.
Inform the American people of your bravery.
Проінформуємо американський народ про вашу відважність.
And make the case against Putin to the world.
І покажемо про докази проти Путіна усьому світу.
I believe you will win. I am convinced you will win, and we will do everything we can to provide you with what you need to win.
Я вірю в те, що ви виграєте, переможете. Я переконаний в тому, що ви переможете, і ми вам допоможемо всіма можливими засобами.
And we have succeeded not because of equipment, but because of your courage.
Ви успішні не через обладнання, але через вашу відважність.
So I thank you, and the world is watching, and the world is watching because we cannot allow Vladimir Putin to succeed here, because if he succeeds here, he will succeed in other countries.
That was John McCain finishing up. The War Hawks from Washington. He's seems to be a bit senile. Well, we're going to conclude with some rare words, sanity, from former congressman and presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich. He was interviewed last week on Fox News after the revelations that Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn, had spoken with Russia's ambassador at the time that Obama had imposed new sanctions on the Russians and had lied about it to Vice President Mike Pence. So here we go.
Well, General Flynn has admitted misleading the vice president, but I think we have to look at this a little bit deeper. A phone call from the incoming director of national security was intercepted and the contents given to the media. And you have to so obviously shared by intelligence officials. Now, what's at the core of this is an effort by some in the intelligence community to upend any positive relationship between the U.S. and Russia. There's gold in them there hills. There are people trying to separate the U.S. and Russia so that this military-industrial intel axis can cash in. The American people have to know that there's a game going on inside the intelligence community where there are those who want to separate the U.S. from Russia in a way that would reignite the Cold War. That's what's at the bottom of all this. It's like, wake up, America. What's going on in the intelligence community with this new president is unprecedented. They're making every effort to upend him. Who knows what the truth is anymore? This is like the electronic version of Mad Magazine, spy versus spy. And so the bottom line is, we should not start a Cold War again with Russia. The American people forked over billions of dollars for the last one and changed the quality of life in this country. There's something wrong going on here in the intelligence community. It's not just this administration. I want to remind the viewers that in the closing months of the Obama administration, they put together a deal with Russia to create peace in Syria. A few days later, a military strike in Syria killed 100 Syrian soldiers, and that ended the agreement. What happened is, inside the intelligence and the Pentagon, there was a deliberate effort to sabotage an agreement the White House made. This is like deep state. This is like some kind of a spy novel. But it's real, and the American people have to understand a game is being played with the security of our country. We need to have closer ties with Russia. We can't be suckers in this, but we cannot also have certain people playing an agenda that separates us from our aspirations for peace between the two major powers in the world. This isn't about whether you're for or against Donald Trump.
Right.
Hello? This is about whether or not the American people are bystanders in a power play inside the intelligence community, the outcome of which could determine our relationships with Russia and whether or not billions of dollars are going to be spent in a new Cold War.
And that was Dennis Kucinich with a voice of sanity, which you ironically heard on Fox News. This is Jeff Blankford. Thanks for listening.